Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
The world's full of incredibly talented and skilled people and companies with targeted expertise and knowledge that can help you with your manufacturing challenges. Finding them, though, has been the hard part. In various Make It Right podcasts in the past, I've spoken with people who've had to go offshore to get prototypes and design samples created, and often they continue that relationship into production. Zometry is an on-demand manufacturing marketplace that's been offering custom manufacturing solutions through its network of partners and experts since 2014, and it offers manufacturing on-demand by matching the project to the manufacturer. In recent months, the company raised $55 million as part of its Series D round, and it announced a partnership with Alibaba. Today on the Make It Right podcast, my guest is Greg Paulson. He's the Director of Application Engineering at Zometry, and he's here to explain how Zometry and their process works and the benefits it can provide to a business. So welcome to the show, Greg. Great to have you.
I love the intro. Thanks so much, Janet.
Oh, my pleasure. So I think that, you know, I gave a brief overview of just what Zometry is, but let's have from your side a quick overview of the Zometry process. So if somebody's looking for manufacturing, they understand exactly how you guys work.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to start off with a quick analogy and then go into some of the details. But we want people to think about Zometry the way you think about Amazon when you get things. So you go to Amazon to get things. You go to Zometry to get parts. We have turned this whole opaque process of getting custom manufactured parts into a click and buy experience. And all we need is a 3D CAD model to be uploaded. And on the other side of Zometry, we also have a manufacturing partner network, like you mentioned, and that large network of thousands of manufacturers, it's almost like a Uber for them or a Lyft system where they are paired with the work that's most relevant to them. And they're able to take a look at it, say, hey, this fits my scope. I can hit the lead time. I can hit the quality needs. And I can click and take it. And it's instant work for manufacturers on demand for them. And they always have the opportunity to say, all right, it doesn't quite fit me. It'll go to the next manufacturer on a very large network. So we have the scalability in this network connection.
Okay. Yeah. So go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, but for you, if you're looking for manufacturing services, the barrier to entry is just a 3D CAD model. We do everything else on our side, so you can just upload that 3D CAD model to Zometry's instant quote site, and it's really an instant pricing site. As soon as it's uploaded, within seconds, we're interpreting the geometry of the model and pricing out in usually the least expensive process. It's usually going to be like a 3D printing process, but you can quickly modify and configure that to anything from, several 3D printing services. We actually have seven 3D printing services that we offer, like different processes, as well as sheet metal, urethane casting, injection mold, and of course CNC machining. So you're able to configure to most common manufacturing processes, get instant pricing and lead time on the site just by a few clicks of the mouse.
Okay, so just so that I understand on the manufacturing network side, so all of those manufacturers that are out there, are you matching them to the project, or are they going on and always looking kind of like an RFP going, yeah, I fit that process, that's me?
So it really is a data science question. Like the IP that Zometry has built is around this whole data-driven experience of, first off, making sure the price is accurate enough for the customer to be like, hey, that's a very competitive price. And making sure that we can give an offer to our manufacturers where they can go home and feed their family at the end of the day. So actually having, you know, good offers to our manufacturing partners. And then, of course, you're right. How do I know, like, hey, this is a, you know, turned titanium piece with, six tapped holes, and so one of those tapped holes is off angle, which means it may do a secondary operation or may need a multi-access operation to it. And we're able to, first off, kind of do the simple down select where these manufacturers are setting up their profiles saying, hey, I have this capability, I machine, or I have a live tooling lathe. And it starts there. We also are able to look at their history and say, hey, almost like a Netflix recommendation, we see that you do parts like this all the time and you like this material. We see this as a 93% match. Do you want to take it, yes or pass? And so we're actually able to save them time from just browsing for a lot of work that may not be the best fit by finding just based off their history and based off their profile, what type of work may be most relevant for them. And it's a great feedback loop for us, because if we hit our manufacturer sweet spot, we're talking thousands of manufacturers, and every single one of them kind of has a core business and something that their machines are just great at making. And if we hit that sweet spot, usually we could be very cost competitive, because they're in the zone. They're not like overstretching, you know, their mechanical boundaries. And we tend to get better quality and get parts delivered and shipped on time.
So who is typically the Xometry customer, and generally speaking, why are they coming to you? Because I've seen that you have all kinds of different industries, aerospace, et cetera, coming to you, but who is the typical customer?
That's a tough question, because we cast a very large net. Because we're offering a multitude of services, including 3D printing and some printing processes like SLS Nylon, for example, which is selective laser sintering, and it's a very economical 3D printing process. It's good for the masses. So you're sometimes getting just folks who are individual inventors or people that are doing some sort of CAD ideation. But at the same time, this material is attractive to major aerospace and folks that are actually doing prototyping or pre-production work. So we have some catch-all technologies that help cast a wide net. For like specific companies that you were talking about in the aerospace industry, a lot of that work is because we make CNC and sheet metal so easy to procure. So on our site, you could upload your 3D file, you could actually attach your drawing to it, and in a few simple steps, configure to the most common CNC materials, including some aerospace materials like 7075 and 7050 aluminums that actually auto price on our site. You could go and select tighter tolerances than the standard plus or minus 5/1000ths of an inch tolerance. You could select better surface finishes, surface treatments like chem film or heat treats even. And you could also select what level of inspection. So if this is a prototype non-flight article, you may just have a standard inspection, which is, we inspect internally and we send you the part. But you can also select, hey, I want a CMM bubble drawing inspected with a report at just another click of the mouse. And that ease of just clicking and kind of configuring and watching your quote update live is super powerful for, again, these marketplaces that tend to have a much more opaque manufacturing experience where they don't know why a part's priced that way. So we just show the price as it is, and you watch it to update live, including if you're using our CAD add-in, you can actually almost prototype your price in SOLIDWORKS or Inventor. As you design your part, you could click update and see how the price changes when you add features.
Manufacturing leaders are always looking to save time and save money. So this process looks to me like it's going to save a lot of time, because you load it up and you can see, you add things in, you take things out, you can see how the cost changes, right? Are those the key benefits, though, that Xometry customers are coming to you for? Or is it because they can access this wide network? Or I'm guessing it's probably a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both. So the ease is awesome. A good example is I talk to our customers sometimes, and I say we have instant quoting. And they're like, oh, that's cool. And they think instant quote submission. Like, they upload their files, they configure their thing, and then they press submit quote. And, they wait a couple of days and get it back. And they're like, oh, the ease of me uploading is nice. And I'm like, no, it's actually instant pricing. The second that you upload, you actually see your price and lead time, and that's what you're going to purchase. If it says, $771.64, when you press buy, that's going to be the price. And so kind of moving that mindset to, this is not a multi-day process anymore. This is literally a seconds process to configure your quote. It's just super powerful for the person that's designing on the engineering floor. Now, procurement really likes us, procurement sourcing, especially the larger organization, because procurement has had an issue over the last decade of acquiring so many vendors that now every single time they have a policy change, they have to manage each one of these vendors individually. So from supply chain used to be, hey, use your ERP, you can put any provider in it, and now you have your SKU and you find your four providers for that. But now it's more like, oh my gosh, we have 26,000 providers. And so Xometry, because we offer so many technology and services, and we're just Xometry, we're one provider, we're actually now a supply chain consolidator for them. So they can order multiple technologies, and at a click of a mouse, we manage our network. We just, all they worry about is getting their parts, you know, on time, you know, and shipped to the location. So we manage our network, we manage the quality, and we do that whole supply chain side for them without them intervening with, you know, hey, this is a sheet metal part, this is a bronze turn part, this is a fifth axis aluminum part, I need to manage 3+ vendors for this. We do that all that work behind the scenes.
Share some stories with me from some interesting manufacturing projects that you've had that shows how this whole thing works and how it's been successful for a manufacturer.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, something I wanted to note is that you mentioned that we just raised, you know, $55 million in our recent funding, and Xometry over the course of history over the last 5 years, we've raised, I believe, about $118 million in funding to just kind of accelerate our growth. But these investors are also our customers, and all of the category investors like GE, BMW, Bosch that joined on recently, Dell that also joined on recently, these were all customers of Xometry before they started investing. So, you know, a lot of these stories, they found us almost from that supply chain consolidation side. The example that I use with BMW a lot is we are actually providing stuff within their tooling department for kind of custom jigs and fixtures on the automotive assembly line. And I really like talking about that because one of the things that's interesting with them is they know what is good and for CNC machining and what's good for additive. So BMW has been ahead of the curve. They're probably about 5 years ahead of everybody else in understanding the powers of additive manufacturing and where it's useful. A lot of the parts that I see are actually parts for integrated assemblies. So something that has a custom contour may actually be FDM 3D printed, so that's fused deposition modeling. It's kind of a extruded filament going back and forth, but you could build big, broad parts with very little warpage to them. And they may have a large FDM part, often color-coded for different sections of the vehicle, like this is the blue part, blue section, green section, etc. And then they will CNC machine other accoutrements for it that may require better surface finish or more precision, and kind of mix that all together, even adding urethane casting and some other technologies into their order, and they're able to just do that in one quote. Like they can just upload all those parts and in one document press buy and get all these different surfaces at one time. So I find that really cool because that's probably one of the best utilizations I've seen from a Xometry standpoint and utilizing our ability to kind of manage different supplies, which very often go out to different partners to produce.
Okay, so say I have a part that I want you guys to make, and I punch in all my information, I load up my CAD drawing, and you guys look it over and you go, if we made this small adjustment right here, we could improve this part and these guys could do it. Does that happen, or does it happen down the road where the manufacturer sees something and says, you know, if we just make this adjustment here, this product is going to be way better and more cost effective to make? Does that happen?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, okay. Every process has its own design sensitivity, and we typically call that design for manufacturing, or DFM. So we do have some integrated DFM on our website, but we also have a team of engineers that do project reviews. I can tell you that you sometimes let, you know, onesies, twosies kind of slip by with slight DFM inconsistencies, or is there maybe a thin wall or something that could resolve with this technology. It'd be a little bit of a pain, but it's not gonna like break the bank on it. It's just gonna be a change in setup. But if that same product is then ordered, you know, several dozen or hundreds of parts or even thousands of parts, then all of a sudden that design sensitivity really starts to highlight, because a lot of that cost is no longer setup, it's actually on cycle time and the production of that piece, as well as, you know, the risk in scrap, for example, or your inspection needs. And all of a sudden, like a thin wall or like a, you know, little protrusion or something that, like, for example, like if you have a protruded peg, I may be like, can we put a hole and put a pin in here? Because it'll actually be much more repeatable, and pins are, you know, super tight tolerance off the shelf. And those little suggestions can actually save a lot of money over a production life cycle. So our team kind of can look at this from a holistic point of view. So looking at the requirements of the part, including possibly reviewing the drawing and the total need to kind of say, all right, we built a couple of these for you. You got the parts and they turned out great. Now that you need to make 200 of these, I recommend doing this change. Would you be able to update to CAD? And we'd be, and a lot of times, you know, engineers are very accommodating. And usually if your manufacturer gives you feedback, it's because we really want to make the parts. And we want to, you know, we want to give them the justice they deserve. So we're trying to help you improve on that.
Right. So, and based on that example, I can see that down the line then for the consumer, if you're making a part that you can actually make faster with these minor adjustments and therefore the cost of making that part is cheaper, eventually down the road, I can see that the consumer product could potentially be more cost effective for the consumer.
Absolutely. And even like I think about, you know, some of our services that scale a little bit more like injection molding, this you can't argue with thermoplastics. Like they will win, you know. So if you, there's some traits, like I know there's a material like high density polyethylene, HDPE, which just behaves badly when it comes to sink marks. I mean, their sink marks are essentially, we have over thick walls compared to the rest of your walls. So you usually have an average wall thickness. And if you have like a, you know, chunky area, that plastic will shrink at a different rate, causing, you know, almost a pinched look, almost like a depression in the part that can be very visible. And, you know, a lot of times with molding, even like a low order is still, you know, between 500 to 1,000 parts. And so we're usually more sensitive about DFM feedback saying, hey, you're going to have a line here. It's probably not the end of the world. In fact, actually, once you learn about sink marks and other things, you're going to start seeing them everywhere in manufactured products on, you know, you go to Target or Home Depot, you start looking at plastic things, you're like, sinks everywhere. So it's industry okay, but it's just something we wanted our customers to be aware of. And usually you can you could design just a few tricks to help even out that wall thickness and really mitigate those areas.
So when I think of custom manufacturing, I think of limited run items. And I know that, you know, the McLaren racing team apparently is using some 3D printed parts on its Formula One cars. So I can see them saying, okay, we've got a couple of cars here. We want to try these parts out. They can do that. But what happens when you want to scale and you say, okay, we know this part works great and we're not McLaren Racing, we're BMW and we need millions of these parts. What happens then? Like, do you play a role with your manufacturers and they end up getting that contract when that project scales?
One of our goals is, again, looking at the project from a holistic standpoint, this is usually pre-sale. So this is usually like understanding the needs of the project and looking at where it is. And I always like to ask this question, what does the next 6 weeks look like for you? What does the next 6 months look like? What does the next 6 years look like for you? Because right, these may be very different production methods, depending on your time to market. If you know your revision's probably going to change, you know, within 6 months and all these, you're going to take those into consideration to see what really is the most important factors for you and what technologies will help bring you there. Because often, like you said, if you're moving up into, you know, you go from 1 to 100 to 10,000 to 1 million, mm-hmm. Those production methods significantly change, including like if you go to like, you know, even the hundreds of thousands of millions, if there's just a small thing like a tap hole or insert or something like that, that is a fixed manual labor that you have to reproduce over and over again. And that usually means either one, I invest in creating a custom work center, which is gonna be part located on our partner side. So they're actually creating a work cell specifically for this part to, you know, do those inserts or, you know, custom jig to actually, like for you do a test check fixture so you don't have to QA every single one with like a CMM. You actually create a check fixture that if it fits, then it's passable. So you may create accoutrements to actually help you lubricate the production process. And all this stuff needs to be taken into consideration. Sometimes I can also say, like, you know, if you do a thread or tapped hole, sometimes when you go to that level, you may want to design a situation in which you have, for example, snap pins or some other feature that is embedded in the part that gives you the same fixturing without actually having to do the operation. So the same design, usually moving from those, you know, lower numbers to the higher numbers, gets revved significantly to simplify the not just design for manufacturing anymore, but the design for assembly, design for post-processing, design for shipping even.
So in manufacturing on this podcast, Greg, we talk a lot about waste reduction. So I got a couple of questions for you. One is, I'm thinking we've based on what you've said, I'm guessing that this whole approach is more economical for people, but is it more eco-friendly and is there less waste?
I think we are in the early steps with this manufacturing partner network. We have manufacturers all across the U.S. and we have some international manufacturers as well. And with our agreement with Bosch, you know, we're looking also to move hopefully out to Europe. And so we're going global. And, you know, you have local customers as well. And there's definitely ways to create synergies where you can match projects with those that may actually have a better footprint too. So all these possibilities exist and we have the network to work with that. So I think so is what I can say right now. It's very exciting to think about. And even on the additive manufacturing side, of course, you know, you're using less scrap material like in each part. So there's always some waste material in additive manufacturing. It's not perfect. But you're not cutting away chips, right? You're building up and you're the only material required to basically scrap on the part is usually supporting material.
So I have one final question for you. Well, I think it's my final question, Greg, who knows, right? But I mean, you announced this really interesting partnership with Alibaba recently with Xometry. So just tell me a little bit about that and what that means for honestly, the landscape, right?
Yeah, it's funny. Alibaba is a super giant. I mean, they are, you know, a very large marketplace. They have, including showcasing manufacturers all across the world, where that's, you know, if you go on Alibaba, you can sometimes pair and find, you know, either a product that's already created and kind of utilize that for, you know, utilize those tools that already exist and make your parts or, you know, a pair with manufacturers. In the U.S., it's actually not very well known at all, which is surprising. But I think that's because we have like Amazon.com and some other marketplaces that have kind of already existed and they have a foothold here. Xometry is working with Alibaba, you know, in a partnership because there's synergy there. We are a manufacturing marketplace. We're a matchmaker. In the same manner, you know, Alibaba is this network that is doing that matchmaking and connection as well. And I think this partnership is just going to enhance what our manufacturing partners have access to and also what they can showcase to, like giving them a bigger storefront to help their businesses by joining on the Alibaba network and actually like having almost a storefront on this larger, more global network. So giving that access.
Mm-hmm. You've been in this business a while now, Greg. Have you seen manufacturing coming back to America?
Oh, absolutely. The need for manufacturing has not diminished. In fact, I think one of the beautiful things that I've seen in the last decade that I've been working is, you know, in 07, a 3D printer, like a desktop 3D printer, like an industrial machine was $1 million. A mm-hmm. desktop machine was like $5,000. And now people are buying, you know, for low hundreds, these machines. And you know what someone realizes when they get into 3D printing almost as a, you know, first to tinker and just kind of explore it, is like, oh man, I need to know CAD design now because these printers work off 3D CAD. And so alongside like this, it's blamed to me, but it's kind of hidden to most is the ability to access design software has, you know, the bar has never been so low to get in. Like there's a lot of free design software platforms out there and it allows people who may have never had the opportunity to make their product in the first place actually be able to work with entry-level design programs, make something, and then use an economical process like Xometry to produce their prototypes and hopefully, you know, help build a little product line, including, you know, there used to be like low volume, high value parts were the only things that were viable. But now you could do, you know, low volume, low value parts with a lot of these technologies. So you could actually make more niche product lines. And all this has just basically increased that need for manufacturing services the Internet of Things, things that actually may, you know, iPhones, they change every year. Like if you're making something that's accoutrement to these devices, you may actually have to change your design every year. If you're tooling that up, it gets very expensive. But 3D printing, it doesn't care if you change your rev, it just starts printing the next part. So it's, so there's so many opportunities out there for manufacturing growth. And I, with more CAD design, more more access, you're getting actually more business. So I don't think we're, I don't necessarily if we're reshoring, I think we definitely are with a lot of these processes, especially the more economical processes and as pricing's going lower. But I can say that we are definitely seeing more access to those who probably never could have made the project in the first place a decade ago. And I mean, it just keeps on growing.
Mm-hmm. It is fascinating. And manufacturers have some great opportunities depending on how they want to look at things. And it seems to me like it's a brave new world every day, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with marketplace manufacturing, I think one of our jobs is to be transparent about it. You know, give that access and give those options.
Greg, it's been a fascinating conversation. And I got to tell you, you've painted a lot of different pictures in my head. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us on the Make It Right podcast.
Janet, it's been awesome. Yeah, I'm always happy to talk. Thank you.
Great. Greg Paulson is with Xometry, where he is the Director of Application Engineering. And just so you know, Xometry is spelt with an X, X-O-M-E-T-R-Y. That is our show for this week. Please check out our Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook feeds and subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. And until next week, I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for listening to the Make It Right podcast.